have your Bible this evening, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Proverbs in the 22nd chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. Good to see each of you out tonight with your Bibles ready to study. And in a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Butler has suggested. And if you've not put on Christ in baptism, we would encourage you to consider what the Bible says, that one needs to be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. And that is taught in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And that your sins will be blotted out and you can be added to the family of God. Or if you need to be restored to Christ and this church family, if you would make your way to the front, we'd be glad to pray with and for you that you might be right with God. In the book of Proverbs, in the 22nd chapter, I want to read one verse with you for the thought of our study. In verse 2, the rich and the poor have this in common, the Lord is the maker of them all. I thought about that statement, the rich and the poor, and I've come to recognize they have more in common than this old world ever dreamed of. In the eyes of many in the world, they're in two different categories, and it seems like they don't have a lot in common. And yet, when you study the Bible, you'll find that they have more in common than most people recognize. Jesus often spoke of the rich and poor in the same teaching. And you can go through the Bible and find where Jesus in Luke 16 spoke about a rich man. And then you can turn just a few pages to the book of Luke in the 21st chapter, and you'll find where he spoke about a poor widow woman who gave much to the cause of the Lord when she gave too much. Jesus commended her giving because she gave out of her livelihood and not out of her abundance. So it is my purpose at this time to get all to see the young and old, the rich and poor walk together. That we have a lot in common, whether we be of wealth or whether we be of poverty, whether we be young or old, we walk together. The first thing I want us to think about is that rags and riches walk together or meet together in death. In the Hebrew letter, you'll remember the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and about verse 27 that it is appointed for man to die and then the judgment. You remember that that is exactly what the writer said. There will be an appointment of death and that all will come to a point of dying. So the word of the Lord brings this to light. This is one thing for sure, that death is no respecter of person. You can be very wealthy or you could have nothing, but one thing is for certain, all will come to a point in this life where you will give up the ghost. I think that you will agree with me that they both need meet together in death. They both will die and there's no way to get out of this fact. As Hank Williams said, there ain't no way of getting out of this world alive. And that's exactly right. You're not going to get out of this world alive. But the second thing I want you to think about is that rags and riches meet together in sorrow. There's no doubt that they meet in this particular place together. In the book of Job and the 14th chapter and verse 1, Job said that man who is born of woman is born full of trouble, that his days will see many trouble. And it doesn't matter if you're wealthy or if you're poor, you're going to meet a day where you will be in sorrow. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 6 through 10, riches does not keep one from the many pitfalls in life. It doesn't keep one from sorrow. In fact, the business sometimes, the more you have, the more sorrow one may have. And it doesn't matter if you're wealthy or if you're in poverty, one thing you can put down tonight is that all will meet sorrow. They walk together in sorrow. Both the rich and the poor can have family problems. Both the rich and the poor can deal with their children going astray. Both the rich and the poor can have problems where they have to tend to a loved one who's sick. One cannot escape it, the other cannot escape it. As we've already talked about, they cannot escape death. So they meet not only together in death, but rags and riches walk together when we talk about sorrow. But the third thing I want you to think about is whether one be of wealth or one be of poverty, they meet together in salvation. It's by the same grace of God that one individual can be saved. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy or poor, you can have your sins blotted out. Isn't that wonderful tonight that the Lord doesn't require a big paycheck for you to be saved? And the Lord doesn't require for one to be in poverty to be saved, but that all hear the same gospel call. If you take your Bible, look, if you will, in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter. In the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter in verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That call is to everybody, whether you be poor, whether you be wealthy, whether you be young, whether you be old, whether you be black, white, red, or yellow, that call is made to every individual. But if you take your Bible, go with me to the book of Titus and the third chapter. In the book of Titus and the third chapter, notice with me the statement made in verse 5. How one is brought near to God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. These individuals have been baptized into Christ. Their sins have been blotted out. It didn't matter their background. It didn't matter their wealth status. They have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. They weren't redeemed by gold, as Peter said in 1 Peter 1, which is corruptible, but they were redeemed by the incorruptible blood of Christ. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else with me. Notice, if you will, they were saved by the same sacrifice. If you go back to the Hebrew letter where we were just a moment ago, you'll find that the Hebrew writer brings to their mind that the same sacrifice that saves one saves all. In Hebrews chapter 10, look, if you will, at verse 26. He says, "For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." Underscore sacrifice for sin. I used to think that if one sinned willfully, there'd be no more forgiveness. That's what he's not saying. What he's saying is the only sacrifice that there is for sin is Christ. And if you willfully and deliberately turn your back on Christ, you walk away from the Son of God, you have nothing to do with Christ, there's no other way of salvation. It doesn't matter what your position is in life. I'm fearful that some have in their mind that if they're poor, that means they automatically go to heaven. Not so. I think sometimes we've almost made it sound like if an individual's made money in life, they're lost. Not so. That's not what the issue is. Rags and riches come to salvation in the same way. There's salvation only in Christ. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, He said there is salvation in no other name. And they're added to the same body when they become children of God. When one is a child of God, we're added to the same body. Look, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. In Colossians 1 and 18, it says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence." Christ is the head of the body. And anybody who comes to Christ is in that body. They've made their life right. They are a child of the King, whether they be rich, whether they be poor. But then if you take your Bible, look in Ephesians chapter 2, and look at what He says in verse 16. "That He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." Look again, one body. There can be no doubt that the rich and the poor meet together in salvation. But that brings up something else. They'll meet together in the judgment. Have you ever thought, my friend, that all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Now, if you will hear but read the Word of God, you will see they'll meet together in the judgment. In your Bible, look in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter. And when you come to Matthew chapter 25, look at verse 41. And notice what Jesus had to say. In verse 41, He said, "Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Notice it doesn't mention anything about money. It doesn't mention anything about poverty. It doesn't mention anything except for those who rebelled against the King. Then, if you will, drop down to verse 45 and 46. Notice, if you will, in verse 46, He talked about the ones that will go into everlasting life, but the righteous into eternal life. One will go into everlasting punishment. The other will go to eternal life. If you take your Bible, look in the Revelation letter for just a moment, and the 20th chapter. Again, we see the picture is clear. In Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Then, if you will, look at verse 15. And anyone, underscore that word, not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They meet together in the judgment. But that brings up another thought. Have you ever thought that there will be rags and riches that meet together in hell? That there will be rags and riches that meet together because they have spent their life in contrariness to God's word? In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22, we see a rich young man who did not come to Christ on his Christ turn. He came running. He came and asked what he had to do to inherit eternal life. He wanted to know if he could have eternal life. And you'll remember that young man was wealthy. And when Jesus, knowing his heart, told him to sell all that he had and come be a disciple and follow him, he went away sorrowfully. He will spend eternity now separated from God because he was unwilling to give up what God required. In Luke chapter 12, you'll remember that the rich man there did not want to give up his wealth. His mind was only upon what he had. You remember that he went and he tore down his barns and he built bigger barns, and his mind wasn't upon spiritual things, but his mind was upon earthly things. And after he built the big barns, he said to himself, "Now I can sit back and rest and have ease." And God said, "Thou fool, tonight your soul is required of thee." So I want us to understand the wealthy have to be prepared unless they are destroyed. But so do the poor. Do you recognize tonight you can be as stingy over a dime as you can $1 million? And many times a lot of people who are in poverty look at somebody who's in wealth and they just make assumptions that they did so in a way that's ungodly. That's not true. And they're sad to see a lot of people walk in jealousy within the brotherhood. As the people of God, we should weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And we need to recognize that both the wealthy and the poor, that both individuals need to recognize their soul is at risk if they don't walk with God. How many times have we seen individuals who didn't have anything, and yet they blamed God because they didn't have anything? And many times it's not God's fault. Many times it's the fault of others. And what we need to realize is sometimes we look for someone to blame when in reality we need to look at self. But that brings up something else. Rags and riches will meet together in heaven. Just think about the beautiful city of God. Now there will be no respecter of person with God in that day. Like the poor man that was carried to the bosom of Abraham by the angels of God, I think about every individual that dies in Christ will be in paradise with Christ. And I recognize, my friend, individuals like Abraham who were wealthy, Gaius who was wealthy, and many others who've been dedicated to God. They'll be there. And I think about poor individuals like the poor widow we read about and others who have lived their life for God. They'll be there. Isn't it wonderful to think that we walk together? This is something for the rich and poor to consider. They meet together. They have much in common. All are guilty of sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And thus they all need to obey God. Tonight, whether you be walking in riches or in rags, the most important thing isn't this world. It's, are you ready for the next one? Now's the time to prepare. I'll never forget a man in Nashville, Tennessee, owned a business. And he had a lot of money, but he quit coming to worship. And when he was approached about it, he said, "I don't have time, I'm too busy." But I'll tell you what, he wasn't too busy to die. And I'll tell you something. No matter where we stand on the scale of wealth or poverty, make sure you don't miss out on the richest blessing there is of being a Christian, of being a child of God. of being redeemed by His blood. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come tonight as together we stand and sing.